It was Saturday, a day of silence. The world was dark, and heaven held its breath. The tomb was sealed, and the story was over. The darkness had overcome the light. The disciples were mourning, confused and afraid, hiding behind locked doors, courage long gone. Their dreams were shattered, their futures uncertain. Their Messiah was dead, and so was their hope. But early on Sunday morning, something began to stir. As night gave way to dawn, tragedy gave way to glory. Creation began to tremble. The stone began to move. The sun rose once again, and so did their hope. And then, against all odds, the silence was broken. Miracle of all miracles, the curse was undone. Darkness gives way to light. Death gives way to life. And behold, the king had conquered the grave. Easter means there is hope for all nations and joy for all people. There is strength for the weary and peace for the hurting. There's mercy for the broken and healing for the wounded. There is light in our darkness and the redemption of all things. The resurrection of Jesus is the greatest moment in human history. It's the day that changed the world forever. It's the reason we celebrate today, the reason we have hope for tomorrow, and the reason your story can change. Easter is here.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Living Hope Wesleyan Church. We're going to begin this morning with the traditional Easter greeting, which is, He is risen. And you respond?
He is risen indeed.
He is risen?
He is risen indeed.
Yes, he is. It is Resurrection Day, the day that our Lord Jesus was raised from the grave. The greatest news that we could ever hold on to is that Jesus is alive and well. This is what was written in Matthew 28. After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said he would. Come and see the place where he lay." This is a triumphant moment in the church. This is a triumphant moment where the angel declared that he was risen, that Jesus was no longer in the grave, that death and sin had been defeated. And the best part was, is that it's an invitation. Come and see that the tomb is empty. That's what we're celebrating today, that the tomb is empty. The price was paid and Jesus rose from the grave. Amen. 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 Let's stand and sing together. Thank you.
Please be seated.
One of the beautiful things that we do at our Easter services is that we have a baptism. And baptism is that beautiful sacrament that reminds us that as Christ was laid into the grave and he came alive and God resurrected his life, we, as we have placed our faith and trust in Jesus, we do a similar thing where we die to ourselves, we die to our sin, and through the power of Christ, we are made alive in new life. And we have an opportunity to do that. And baptism itself is a depiction of that, that we are dead and buried in the water, completely covered, and then we are raised to life anew. And my thought for you today is this, is that many of you remember the times in which you have been baptized and you have already had that happen in your life, and God worked in a miraculous way to remind you of his death, burial, and resurrection because you have placed your faith in him. And as we have baptism today, I want to have you draw your mind to your baptism and what Christ did in your life and how he has worked in your life. So just don't think about those that are being baptized. While that's very good and important, and we're going to cheer and be excited for them. Amen? Amen? Amen. Yeah, we are. But also, it's a reminder for you to remember your baptism, because God has done good work in you. And our first person to be baptized today is Nora Rosales. Nora, would you maybe bring mom or dad up with you and come up here on the stage? Okay. All right. We'll try again another time then, okay? All right. So Riley and Leo, why don't you guys come on up? Okay. Not many of you have met Riley and Leo. They are fairly new to our congregation, and this is serving as not just baptism, but it's also serving as dedication today as well, because Riley has made a decision as a dad to raise Leo in a Christian home and bring him into a life of faith. And Leo, you are also committing to saying, yes, I believe in Jesus, right?
Yes, I believe in Jesus.
That's right. That's right. And that is the best news, isn't it? It absolutely is. So, Leo, I'm going to have you step into the tub, okay? All right? And it's warm. Do you want to feel it first?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Ooh, is that nice?
Yeah.
That's nice. All right, go ahead and step in there. All right. There we go. Okay. So, Leo,
what?
You have placed your faith in Jesus. And you say you believe in Jesus, and I believe you do. And so today we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. I'm going to hold your hand right here. You can hold your nose if you would like to. And we're going to squat, bend down, and go under the tub. Okay. Oh. There we go. Good. And then step out right here. Okay, there you go. And do we have a towel for Leo? Because we don't want you standing here all wet, okay? We're going to drape you over and get you dried off, okay? There you go. While your dad is going to step in the tub too, okay? All right, I didn't make enough room with the flowers over there. So let's go up to the front a little bit. You're taller than Leo was. We don't want you to bonk your noggin, okay? All right. So Riley, you and I'm going to let you sit in the tub for just a second, okay? You and I have been talking and chatting about your new faith in Jesus. And God is doing a work in you. And he is changing you from the inside out. That's what God does. Is he takes the person who we are and changes us and transforms us and makes us new. And you are being made new and your faith in Jesus is a testimony of that. So, Riley, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins?
I do.
Do you believe that you being baptized is a testimony of your faith in him?
I do.
I baptize you now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And do we have a towel for? That's not a towel.
I don't know. If he brought another towel, did you bring another towel?
Well, you're just going to have to truck it then. Be careful. Be careful. Here we go. Here's another one. Oh, are you chilly? All right. The Lord is good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Congregation, let's give them a round of applause again. And why don't you guys go right ahead. And as they are going to have us get changed, I invite the worship team to come on up. And as you're standing up, let's prepare ourselves to worship our Heavenly Father.
People say he is risen indeed. Amen. I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, You held me in your sight, so you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through
take a moment and pray together. Father, we're so grateful that we get to come into this place today and to worship you, because it is all about you. It's not about us. It's not about anything that we might do, but it's all about what was done on the cross and in the grave. And the resurrection that took place on this day so many years ago. God, you worked in mighty and amazing ways. And we're so grateful for the ways in which you do life and encourage us and draw us close to you. And the ways in which you, Father, are working in our lives. God, you are so good. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. You take people that have been very far from you, change them and transform them and bring them close to you and make them more like your son, Jesus. And God, I pray that you would do that in all of us today, tomorrow, and the day after that. You continue to do amazing work, God. And for that, we are grateful. We truly are. So, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us even now. May your word fall deep into our souls and draw us close to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, a couple of things that I just want to express is, first of all, thank you so much for being at worship today. I truly believe that Easter Sunday is not just a great Sunday, but it is one of the best reminders of God's work in our life and the way in which Jesus continues to draw us close to him. And that is amazing. Secondly, it's just good to be with other believers and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, my message today is simple. And I want to begin like this. I anticipate that you have probably or will probably hear at some point in time today this question. Did you get enough? And your mind will probably be drawn to a couple of things. Probably the first thing that it'll be drawn to is after you eat. Did you get enough? And that might be where your mind just crashes and you're wondering, did I get enough ham, if you eat ham? Did I get enough Cadbury eggs today? Because you can never get enough of those. Whether you think you don't like them or not, you should and just enjoy them because they're fantastic. Did I get enough deviled eggs today? Because that is delightful, is it not? Oh, they are. Did I get enough whatever? You see, this is a phrase that is commonly heard in our house. Whether we're at home eating lunch or dinner, or we're out and about, or whatever it might be, we will often ask this question of, did you get enough? Many times I ask that question, or my wife asks that question, and it's our way of saying, are you satisfied? Based on the food that you just ate, or based on whatever it might be, are you satisfied? And to be quite honest, we ask that question in different ways. And we say sometimes and question wondering, are we satisfied, by asking if only I had enough money, or if only I felt secure enough. Or sometimes we say, if only I had enough clarity for what is possibly coming. We wonder about enough all the time. Not just when it comes to food, but about our lives, about our situations, about our spiritual lives. You see, it is very easy for us to live in a constant state of searching for more. Actually, most of us live in this type of way where we are striving and we are searching and we are wanting more and more and more. And maybe as you're thinking right now, you're like, yeah, that's me. Because we want more. Jesus, before he went to the cross, he's in the upper room with his disciples. Before the events that took place on Good Friday, before anything had transpired in his arrest, his beating, and his coronation of the crown of thorns being put upon his head, before any of that, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's celebrating the Passover meal with them, and he gives them some final instructions, and he tells them what is going to transpire and what's going to happen and what they should do when this happens and that happens. And he says this in John 14, 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him, or you do know him and have seen him. And Philip, one of his disciples, one of the early disciples, says this, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Sit with that for just a second. Here's a disciple who has walked with Jesus, says, show us the Father, and that will be enough. Now, before we ridicule, before we pick on our friend Peter, Philip, that was not nice for Peter. We're talking about Philip today. Philip is probably giving voice to something that all the disciples were feeling, and probably giving voice to what you and I have felt at some point in our journey with Jesus. Philip's not being rebellious here. He's not. He is not being rebellious. He is actually longing for more. He is longing for something that he hasn't quite grasped yet. He's longing for a greater picture of who Jesus is and who God is. And he is saying, if I can see God more clearly, my soul might settle down. And maybe that's exactly how you feel as well. If I could see God more clearly, my soul, my heart, my mind, my life would settle down. How many times have we echoed Philip's words? Jesus responds with these words. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Think with me for just a second. If you are familiar with the Bible, you would know that Philip was there when he saw the blind man being healed. You would know that Philip was there when the multitude, 5,000 men plus women and children, were hungry and were fed and ate their fill. You would know that the friends that were in the town in Capernaum broke open the roof, lowered their friend down through the home, and Jesus healed their crippled friend. And Philip was there when Jesus taught to the multitudes. He was there. He was there. He saw all that was happening for those 3 years, and he still is saying one more thing. Then it'll be enough. Question for you. Is it possible to be close to Jesus and feel as if it's not enough? Have you ever felt as if you are close to Jesus and you have instances in your life where more is needed, where something else on top of what you've already experienced is needed to know that God is working? Have you ever experienced instances where what God was doing, what God's hands were making happen in your life, didn't feel as if it was meeting the exact spot where you felt you were in need? See, here's the tension. Here's the situation. Here's the issue and where the tension lies. Like Philip, this disciple, we want to experience all that Jesus has for us. We want to experience all of his grace, all of his mercy, all of his love, and we want and we want and we want. We want to define the terms. We want to make the determination of what is enough, and we want to decide whether or not it is enough or not. And I do it as well. We're not alone in that. So what do we do? How do we handle this tension of knowing the things that Jesus did, yet wanting a greater picture, wanting more? That's the struggle. You see, I've been living with this tension, and I didn't even know it for probably a month now. Attention rose in my life as my wife and I have been cruising through the show The Chosen. And maybe you've watched it, or maybe you are like me. You're like, I don't always enjoy those, but I eventually watch them, and then I really like them, and then I can't stop talking about them. Maybe you're like me. You're a little late to the program, but that's okay. You can always catch up. But we have started to watch it, and we're working our way through it because it's long. There's 5 seasons worth of it. And yes, we watch TV. That's okay. But anyways, we're watching The Chosen, and it truly is good. Know that there are some liberties that are taken, and we can argue about those, but the point of the show is to tell you who Jesus is, and they do a really good job. But the last season is focused in on the Last Supper, and it draws us so close to when Jesus is not only just celebrating the Passover meal, but he's getting closer and closer to the cross. And there's one particular episode that spends a lot of time in the Passover meal. And there is a liturgy or a song that is utilized that walks through the exodus of God's people leaving slavery in Egypt. And there's a pattern that goes on, and usually how it's done, it's either sung or someone says a phrase, and then there's a repetition of a phrase. And so it sounds like this. This is how they would begin it. One person would say, "If he had taken us out of Egypt and not made judgments on them," then everyone would say, "It would have been enough." And then the next phrase, "If he had made judgments on them and had not made them on their gods, it would have been enough. If he had destroyed their idols and had not given us their wealth, it would have been enough." Now, the phrase that they use, the phrase is, "It would have been enough," that is translated to a word, "Dianu." That's how I'm saying it. You might say it another way, but "Dianu," okay? That literally means it would have been enough. So this is, I want you to participate with me. I'm going to read the phrase, and then you say with me, "Dianu," and it would have been enough. Okay, so here we go. There it is. "If he had given us their wealth and had not split the sea for us," Dianu, "it would have been enough. If he had split the sea for us and had not taken us through it on dry land," Dianu, "it would have been enough." They would continue to go around the table, and each person would say a phrase, and then they would all say it together, "It would have been enough." And it builds, and it builds, and it builds. But Dianu is designed, it was encouraged to remind the people, not just to realize that what God had done in the very beginning was enough, but it's drawing them to remember that it is more than enough. And it's drawing them to a sense of gratitude, a sense of thanksgiving that God was active and that God was working. And what I have discovered is that when we live in that type of way, our hunting for more becomes less and less. Now, understand the contrast with Philip. The Dianu is saying that what God has already done would have been enough. That what God has done, if he had done nothing else, it was enough. But Philip is saying, what you've done so far is great, but more is needed. It's not enough. Do more. And it makes me wonder, how often have we done that? How often have we said, God, the work that you did in my life, it was great, but can you do more? Now, I know in the back of my mind, and I know it's true that what Jesus has done is enough, but you know what would be more, would be better, is if I had one more thing, one more miracle, one more answer. That would be enough. And I imagine that I'm not the only one who thinks that way. I would imagine that you might think that way with me as well. But the Dianu reminds us that God's past faithfulness is sufficient. God's past faithfulness is sufficient. But sometimes we live in the "but more, please." But what Philip didn't realize in that moment, when he is in the upper room with Jesus and the other disciples, he is in the presence of the ultimate enough, the ultimate Dianu. And the truth is that Philip's desire for enough is answered in the coming days. It's answered in the cross and the empty tomb. And if you want to see what God is like, look no further than the cross, where you see the sacrifice, where you see Jesus's blood dripping down, where you see Jesus's crown of thorns on his head, where his hands and his feet are pierced, and you see the redemption that is being done in life, where you see the love of God being poured out on the cross for you and for me. And then we look at the empty tomb and we see the power of God on display, where an earthquake shakes, the tomb is rolled open, and the tomb is empty. Amen. And you see death defeated, and you see death undone, and you see the power of God. Jesus's answer to the issue of enough is only found in him. While Philip is asking for something more, Jesus has already answered. In that same conversation, Jesus has already told you, I am the way and the truth and the life, and there is no way to the Father except through me. And he says at Bethany near Lazarus' tomb, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And Philip was there and he heard those words as well. Jesus has already been answering Philip's question in the upper room. And when the man that was born blind is healed, and Jesus says, I am the gate and I am the good shepherd, follow me. And then when all the people were fed and were filled, he says, I am the bread of life. Not only is he the good shepherd that shows us what enough looks like, not only is he the one who leads us, not only is he the one that gives us life, but he is the one that fills us with food that is him. Jesus was and is enough. And if Jesus had only been a miracle worker, it would have been enough. If Jesus had only been a miracle worker and not healed the sick, it would have been enough. And if Jesus would have only healed the sick and not forgiven sins, it would have been enough. And if Jesus would have forgiven sins and died on the cross, it would have been enough. But Jesus didn't stop there. He went to the cross and it was enough. He didn't stop there. He rose from the grave and it is enough. And he didn't stop there, that death is defeated in the miracle of his resurrection, and it is enough. If you haven't figured it out by now, God didn't stop at just giving all of that, but he gave everything because he is enough. And the Dianu? Dianu is just a phrase that reminds us, that helps us to understand that what God has already done is sufficient. That Easter, the resurrection day that we celebrate today, of what God has done in Jesus is not just sufficient. It's not just enough, but it's actually complete. It is done. It is finished. Redemption takes place in Jesus. Question. Is this? Question is this. Do you believe that Jesus is enough for every portion of your life? Every portion of your life. When you are mad, Jesus is enough. When you are upset, Jesus is enough. When you are hungry, Jesus is enough. When you are disappointed, Jesus is enough. You know why he is enough? Because he is available to meet you wherever you need him, because he loves you, went to the cross for you, and desires to be in relationship for you and heal you and transform you. He is enough. If God never answered another prayer, he's enough. If nothing changed tomorrow, he is enough. If no miracle took place in your future, he's enough. Ask yourself, is God enough? Am I living like God is enough? Or am I living, grabbing, and pursuing and deciding what is enough, or am I going to live knowing that Jesus is enough? What God has already done is enough. The healings that took place, it would be enough. The miracles already done, it would be enough. The blood that is shed, it would be enough. The crowns of thorns on his head, say it with me, it would be enough. The piercing of his hands and feet, it would be enough. The cross, it would be enough. The empty tomb, it would be enough. Here's my challenge for you. On this resurrection day, Resurrection Sunday, make a decision. Make a line in the sand and say, today's the day that I'm going to live knowing that Jesus is enough. Many of you have already made that commitment. Many of you have already said, Jesus is enough. Some have never made that statement and made that commitment and said, you know what? I'm going to live like I want to. But maybe today's the day where you, today is the day where you say, no more of that. I'm done striving for what I think is enough, and I'm going to trust in Jesus to be enough. And you can do that in a simple way today of, I accept that I have fallen short, that I have sinned. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I confess he is my Lord. A, B, C. And maybe that's exactly what you need today, to make that statement, to draw the line in the sand and step over it and say, you know what? Today he's enough, and you're going to walk with him. And I'm going to pray in just a little bit, and I would love for you to join me in that prayer. And if you have never made that commitment, today's the day. And I'm going to invite you to pray that simple prayer with me. Nobody's going to be looking around because they're all going to be praying as well. But we're going to pray and ask God to work in our lives. And with that, let's pray together. Father, we come before you and we recognize that we need your forgiveness. We need your work in our lives, and we ask that you would speak to us today. Lord, there are folks that are in this room that have been living their lives for you, and that is amazing. Whether it's been all of their lives or just recently in their lives, what is most important is that they are living for you. Others have not gotten to that place yet. But today maybe is the day for that, Lord. And I pray, Father, that if there is someone in this room that is saying, you know what? I need to stop pursuing the things that I want to, but I want to pursue Jesus. Maybe today's the day that they say, and you can pray it in your heart as I pray, I accept that I am a sinner. I accept that I have fallen short. But I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I confess he is my Lord. And if someone prayed that prayer, if you're bold enough to just lift your hand up in the air, I'd love to rejoice with you. See that hand? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, we thank you that you love us. But we also pray, Lord, that if we have already accepted you as our Lord and Savior, but we need to have a correction today, a little bit of a course correction to say that, I need to just get back on track of living like I've already said before, that you are enough. Maybe today's that day for you as well, and you need to spend some time with Jesus and asking him to guide you and direct you and to help you to live in the reality of that he is enough. We want to encourage you that that is a great place to be in pursuing Jesus in that way. God, you are so good. And we pray that you would work in our lives today. We give you praise and we give you glory. And we worship you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a little bit, we're going to be receiving communion. And at the back of the sanctuary, we have a table that has communion cups. And if you did not grab one of those when you were coming in, you can feel free to go and grab one. But we're going to listen to a fantastic Easter song. I want you to draw your attention and just listen as God leads and speaks to us.
Precious Redeemer and Friend.
our hearts do hunger. I came across a song that I've been listening to, and I want to read you just a portion of the lyrics to kind of draw your attention to the importance of communion this morning. About halfway through the song, it says, "From a throne to a cross, who would pay such a price? From the sin of the world, here's your king crucified. See the nails in his hands, see the wounds in his side. See the crown meant to mock, that inside instead prophesied that it was not the end. Wipe the tears from your eyes. Don't forget that he said on the third he would rise. He's alive. He's alive. The Lamb of God has overcome. My testimony is his blood. And if he said that it is done. So be it, God." When we come to communion, we do a number of things. But one of the things that we do is that we remember Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And we do it in a way that is very reverent, but we also do it in a way of celebration as well. Because we are recognizing that Jesus' blood was shed for us. We recognize that his body was given, but we also recognize that someday we will be celebrating with him in heaven. And when we take communion here at Living Hope Wesleyan, we do it in such a way that is a reminder, but it's also recognizing that Jesus' presence is with us. That there is grace in this moment. Grace to change us. Grace to help us to walk in relationship with him. Now, we don't believe that the literal juice and bread become his body, but we remember it and we recognize the power of it. You may have been raised in a different tradition, and that's okay. We love that you are here, and we invite you to join us in taking communion. And we do this because Jesus told us that every time we gather, we should gather in remembrance of him. So you have a communion element. On one side, you have the small portion, which has the bread. You can please take the bread and take it out, because we're going to be receiving communion in just a few moments. But on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks for it, and he broke it and he said, "This is my body given for you." And he encouraged us to take and eat. So please take your element and eat. And then there was a point in time that Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant." And he said, "Take and drink. Take your element of communion and drink." Let's pray. Father, God Almighty, we come before you receiving the elements of communion and knowing that as we take the bread and the cup, we are pausing for a moment and we are remembering the body and the blood of Jesus. We are remembering that through the blood and the body, it is enough. It is complete. The redemption that you desired to bring that was foreshadowed in Egypt before the Israelites left and exodused to the promised land, you were already foreshadowing the lamb that would be slain, that is Jesus, whose body was bruised and pierced and crushed for our iniquities. And so, God, we ask that you would speak to us through communion and remind us today that your redemption, your ransom was complete. And we celebrate that, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Remind us. May the taste of your bread and juice speak to us throughout this day and draw us close to you as we taste and see and know that you are good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to a close this morning, I want to invite you to worship with us one more time. If you would please, let's stand and let's sing together and worship our risen Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. We have a wrinkle that we want to just share with you. Nora would love to be baptized right now. And so her courage is exciting. So go ahead and have a seat. And we are going to baptize Nora. Andrea's helping me. And so, Nora, we are so excited that you want to be baptized. And it's been a joy to watch you grow in your relationship with Jesus. You've been in our Wednesday night class for a while now, and God is doing a great work in your life. And you and I had a conversation about a week ago, and you told me that you love Jesus. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. And you believe that Jesus died for your sins, right? Yeah, absolutely. And you want to live your life to give him glory. Yeah, absolutely. Isn't that awesome, church? Yes, it is. Okay, so I'm going to roll up my sleeves because they already got wet once. Yes. Okay. So the verse is out of Psalm 139, 13 through 14. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And I don't see Jacob yet. So we're going to say something else. So, okay, well, we're going to wait just a little bit. That's no problem. Y'all can wait just a smidge, right? Lunch isn't that important yet. Are you hungry? I'm kind of, okay, all right. It's more important that we're doing baptism, right? Okay, all right. So the most incredible thing about being a pastor is when people of all ages want to come into relationship with Jesus through baptism. They've already declared that they love the Lord. They've already done the commitment to saying, you know what, Jesus, I love you and I'm going to walk with you. But baptism is another affirmation of that. And so, Nora, we are going to baptize you. Do you want to give your stuffy to Miss Andrea? She'll take good care. Okay. I'll go ahead and step into the water. Okay. Is it still warm?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Good. Good. Okay. So, Nora, a couple of weeks ago, I asked you if you love Jesus, and you said?
Yes.
Yes. And you also told me that you want to live your life to give him glory, right? Yeah. And I believe that, and I know that God is working in you, and you've got a wonderful relationship with him that will continue to grow for a long time. Okay, so it's an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. There you go. Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. What a celebration it is to not just celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, but celebrate new life in Christ as well. Have a great day. Worship him in all that you do and enjoy remembering our Lord and Savior is alive and well, and someday we'll see him soon. Amen. Amen. Have a great day. Happy Resurrection Day.